What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment at orthosensi.com. That's orthosensi.com. It is Monday, November 28th, and we are fresh off a couple of state championship games over the weekend. Congratulations to Jake Miners and his East Central Trojans, bringing home the 4A state championship with a dominant win over New Prairie 37-7. We're going to hear from Coach Miners here before too long on this very program. We also want to congratulate the Lawrenceburg Tigers on a successful run to the state championship round, ultimately falling 34-14 against Indianapolis Bishop Chatard in the 3A game on Saturday. We'll have some reaction from that game as well. And then we're going to jump into some high school hoops talk. We're going to talk about our broadcast schedule and when we're going to get started covering high school hoops this season, and talk about some of the teams that have already hit the hardwood. So plenty to get to on this Monday evening. Let's jump right in and talk about those East Central Trojans. They won their third state championship in program history this past Friday, Black Friday. I found it pretty appropriate that the Trojans were in their all-black uniforms on Black Friday as they ran away with the state championship, literally 407 yards on the ground in that 37-7 win over New Prairie in the 4A championship game. 55 carries to get that 407 yards, about 7.5 yards per carry. Josh Ringer leading the way, 24 carries, 171 yards, and 4 touchdowns, which tied a Class 4A state championship game record for rushing touchdowns, and putting an incredible cap on an incredible season for junior Josh Ringer. He rushed for over 2,300 yards this season and an East Central single season record, 39 touchdowns. I mentioned he is just a junior. He's been taking visits to a lot of D1 schools, including Notre Dame here in the state of Indiana, so looks like he's going to be highly recruited the rest of his junior season, and of course all of his senior season. Going to be interesting to see where he ends up, but still has another year to go at East Central, which is making teams in the EIAC and across the state kind of shiver, because as we saw this year with a full year of healthy Josh Ringer, he ran for over 2,300 yards. I mean, absolutely incredible season, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do next season. But again, he caps off an awesome regular season, one of the best an East Central Trojan has ever had, with an awesome performance in the state championship game. But he was not alone. Eli Aston and Ryan Brotherton right there providing big playability for this team, both over 100 yards rushing. So three 100-yard rushers in the state championship game, including the 59-yard touchdown run from Eli Aston that set the tone for this Trojans team early in the first quarter. And you're going to hear from head coach Jake Miners here momentarily in my conversation with him earlier today. We talked about just how efficient his offense was in this football game. They never punted. They had zero turnovers, were only penalized 4 times, then went 9-for-14 on third down and 2-for-2 on fourth down. You can't really ask much more of your team than how they performed in this game, the biggest game of the year. Absolutely awesome performance, near perfect performance, if you ask me, from the Trojans. And then defensively, held New Prairie to 276 yards of total offense. In a normal game, you might say, hey, 276, that's not bad. You can win by only having 276 yards of total offense, but the Trojans forced the Cougars to punt 5 times, were able to get off the field on fourth down, and get the ball back in the hands of their offense. New Prairie's only score coming late in that contest. So again, it was never much of a contest from the East Central standpoint, as they dominated this game and win the Class 4A state championship. We also want to recognize Christian Garrison, who was the Mental Attitude Award winner. That is absolutely awesome as well. And from here, I think I'm going to stop talking about this game and let you hear it from head coach Jake Miners, who lived it on Friday and is still kind of letting things sink in. Here's my conversation from earlier today with head coach Jake Miners of the East Central Trojans.
You know, it's really still sinking in, just all the accomplishments that this team was able to produce, and just extremely proud of our program, proud of our players for the way that they went up, you know, on that stage and in that level of the game, and was able to produce. You know, they really did treat it like it was another game, came out and performed and played up to their capabilities, and it was just very nice to see on that stage and on that level that our guys were able to do that. And it's just a lot of fun. You know, I think the whole week was kind of a celebration for our program and really where we're at. And just nice to see all the recognition that our players were able to receive.
Yeah, and the expectation in St. Leon is to compete for and win state championships. So one of the main things I wanted to talk to you about was how your group handled the expectations this season and went out and accomplished what they did on Friday. That's got to make you really proud.
Yeah, extremely proud. And that's stuff that, you know, we talk about a lot. We talk about the expectations in our program. We want those expectations because that means you're playing and coaching in a good program when those expectations are on you. But, you know, throughout the season, we don't talk about those very often. Of course, every team's goal to start out the season is to win a state championship, but very few times throughout the season do we actually talk about, you know, winning a state championship. We just talked about improving each week and what we could do to improve our performance for the following Friday and try to put the best product out on the field every Friday. And we felt like that if we were able to improve each week and make those adjustments, make those changes, then obviously we'd give ourselves a chance at that state championship. But I think it was really just a focus on, you know, week to week and who the opponent was and getting better and trying to go out and, you know, execute a game plan. And just credit to our players for continuing to do that each and every week. You know, I think our tough regular season schedule and our tough run through the playoffs kind of prepared us for the moment to go out to the state championship game and, you know, just treat it like another quality opponent that we needed to execute a game plan. And that's just going to be proud of our guys the way they handled each week.
Speaking of the tough road to the state championship, your semi-state game was an instant classic, and you were maybe a moment away from not playing in that state championship game. Eli Aston comes through with the blocked field goal there at the end of regulation. In hindsight, now looking at that play, and you were able to cap off winning the state championship, will that go down as maybe the greatest play in East Central High School football history?
It'll definitely be up there, that's for sure. Definitely be up there, you know, the Trojan lore of different plays. You know, I can think of several off the top of my head just dating back, but, you know, definitely an important one. You know, at that point in time during that game, our team was reeling. We're talking to our seniors that, you know, somebody needs to step up and make a play for us, and Eli Aston was able to do that. And just you really want your seniors to be able to come through in those moments and those opportunities, and he was able to step up, and what a play for us. You know, what a play for our program. You know, he definitely etched his name in our program and allowed us to have an opportunity to win that game and an opportunity to go on and win the state championship game.
He's going to have a pretty cool story to tell for the rest of his life, but you go up to the state championship game, and it was a dominant performance. Maybe a little apropos, because that's the word that was across your chest on your attire that game, and 407 rushing yards. You had 3 100-yard rushers, 0 punts, 0 turnovers, very efficient on third down, 2 of 2 on fourth down. Just a complete performance from your team against New Prairie. Did you expect to win the game the way that you did?
You know, every time you play in this program, you expect to win. But from a coaching standpoint, you know, there's a lot of variables within that game. New Prairie is a great football team. Showed a lot of great talent on the field. And you never know how your kids are going to come out and react. And, you know, as a credit to our players, we felt pretty good about our game plan going into it. Felt like that if we followed our game plan, we have a pretty good opportunity to win the game. And, you know, we put ourselves in the right positions, and you want your players to go out and play well and execute a game plan. And that's exactly what we did on Friday. I don't know, you know, we didn't really talk about the score or anything like that pregame. We just wanted to win, you know, by one more point than what New Prairie scored. So we were just fortunate the way things developed. We talked all year about putting ourselves in good opportunities, and our guys were able to come through with that. So just very, very proud of our effort, very proud of the way that we won. We always talk about winning and the way we win, and, you know, you don't want to beat yourselves. You really want to put on your best performance, make the other other team try to beat you, and that's what we're able to do. One more game together and on that sort of stage, and again, it's just credit to our players and their mindset of the way they approach the game.
I got to talk a little bit about Josh Ringer right now. At the beginning of the season, we talked about what it would look like to have a full season of Josh Ringer since he was injured as a sophomore. We saw what he can do with a full season, over 2,000 yards rushing, and ties a 4A state finals record with 4 rushing touchdowns. What can you say about the season Josh has had?
Just incredibly happy for him. We knew that the talent was in there for Josh. It was just a matter of staying healthy and being able to get the ball in his hands. You know, he put up a lot of those stats, and I will say in at least more than half of his games this year, he didn't play in the second half, which those numbers might be even, larger, and Josh, he's a team captain. He shows up every single day looking to get better, shows up every single day just trying to improve his craft, trying to improve those around him. And so when a guy like that is able to have success and to get some recognition, you just get very happy for him. He's extremely proud of his effort, his dedication in the weight room in the off season, going into this year to try to give him, just a better chance of staying healthy. It's just incredible. He's definitely put together one of the better seasons that an East Central Trojan has ever had, and just couldn't be prouder of him and the way that he has come through for his team. He didn't let any game get too big for him. He just went out and tried to produce, and I would say even in the bigger games that we had played this year, it always seemed that Josh was there. He was kind of the guy we leaned on, and he was always there to come through for his teammates.
All right, and I don't want to forget about your defense. Sometimes they get lost in the shuffle with the big playmakers that you have on the offensive side of the ball, but kind of the beat goes on for East Central's defense. Amazing performance throughout the season, and then the way your team performed on that side of the ball in the state championship game. Give some kudos to your defense, would you?
Yeah, just an incredible effort. You know, traditionally at East Central, we want to play stout defense. We want to make life difficult on our opponents. And we put a lot of effort and a lot of game planning, a lot of hours into that defense. And what's so cool about our defense this year is it wasn't just one guy who was having all the stats. It wasn't one guy just having all the tackles and making things difficult. It was really a team effort. Different guy each week, really stepping up for our defense. And I tell you what, later in the season here, between the semi-state game and our state final game, Rhett Smith, a senior for us, didn't have, those numbers that you would look at and just be like, oh, man, this guy's one of the leading tacklers in the state. But he just played his two best football games here at the end of his high school career. And just a lot of the seniors on that side of the ball just completely selfless and just doing what they do. And they go out and they play stout defense. You know, we tackle well and play with great gap integrity. And so we talk about that stuff all the time. And it's just a kudos to those guys showing up each week and understanding scouting reports, understanding game plans, and going out and executing them.
All right, and I want to talk about Christian Garrison for a moment. He earned the Mental Attitude Award there at the state championship. What can you tell us about Christian?
He's just an incredible young man. He hasn't had the easiest home life and the easiest childhood growing up, but he shows up every day. He's a high GPA kid, extremely, extremely nice, always willing to help out whenever and wherever he can, volunteers his time all over the place. So what you want in a young man, what you want in your program, for the younger guys to look up to, just awesome for him to be able to get that recognition. We don't recognize kids like that enough in our society, and for him to get that recognition, just to let him know that people see what he's doing, and that's just an incredible, incredible honor for him.
Oh, very good. Just a couple more questions for you. This is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but also kind of serious. Is it too early to talk about repeating next season with a lot of talent coming back?
We're going to enjoy this one for a little while here in St. Leon, but I'm sure their expectations will be put on us at some point to go back. back and try to make another run at things. But we're going to enjoy this one for a little bit, and then we'll turn the page and when it's time and start focused on next year.
All right, and speaking of enjoying it, is there any big celebration plans that the school is going to be putting on, something that's going to be open to the public? Is there anything that you could share with us regarding celebrations?
There's not any celebrations really planned currently. You know, there's been talk of several different things, but nothing official right now. So our guys are just enjoying it. You know, we're going to get our ring sized up, and we're going to get our state team picture and that sort of stuff. So we'll definitely celebrate together as a team, but I don't know about anything public just yet.
All right. Well, we'll be on the lookout for anything maybe larger, something for the public. But you guys do take the time to enjoy this. You absolutely deserve it, and we wanted to give you the time to congratulate you and let you spread the word about the state championship win.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate everything throughout the year.
Once again, I want to thank head coach Jake Miners for taking time out of his busy day to talk to us about his team's state championship win. Absolutely awesome to see. Well-deserved, very talented team there. And again, winning that state championship when they had a lot of lofty expectations, not easy for 16, 17, 18-year-old kids to play with the weight of those expectations on their shoulders. So for them to get the job done and win the state championship in the way they did, absolutely awesome to see. And again, I asked Coach Miners right there at the end of the interview about any planned celebrations, whether it's going to be a parade or big convocation, whatever it might be. Nothing set in stone as of right now. If we hear anything, we will certainly pass it along, and we'll try our best to be there if anything like that happens as well. So moving forward, we're going to talk about the Lawrenceburg Tigers state championship game as well. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home, orthocincy.com. So myself and Bill Smith had the pleasure of calling the 3A state championship game from Lucas Oil Stadium on Saturday, and there for a moment it looked like the Lawrenceburg Tigers were going to take down the king of the state tournament. I call Indianapolis Bishop Chittard that because they have the all-time record now, 16 state championships, entered the game on Saturday, 15-1 all-time in the state championship game, and they have now won three of the last four state title games in 3A. But Lawrenceburg taking on this perennial power and heading into halftime had all the momentum in the world and a four-point lead. It looked like for a moment that the Tigers might be the ones to unseat Indianapolis Bishop Chittard in the state championship game. And if you want to kind of go back through the game a little bit, Lawrenceburg got off to a great start, got the ball first, went 10 plays, 71 yards. Alex Witte caps it off with a 31-yard touchdown run. They were able to convert on third down for much of the first half, the Tigers were, which helped them get to that 14-10 lead at the half. Of course, after their first touchdown, Chittard goes down the field in the blink of an eye, ties the game. They're able to make a stop, and then they get the ball back, go up 10-7 on a 37-yard field goal. But just a few minutes before the half, Lawrenceburg, they go 11 plays, 69 yards, over five-minute drive. Logan Ahouse hits Brennan Bushman on a 7-yard slant route. Tigers go up 14-10. So looking at my stat sheet and the drive summaries, Lawrenceburg goes 10 plays, 71 yards on their first drive. Their second drive, they get to a fourth down. They go for it on their side of the field, and they fumble the snap on fourth down, turnover on downs. The next drive, the 11 plays and the 69 yards that they go. Those were obviously their two best drives of the day, scoring on both of those drives, but they were also the ones that were more lengthy. They were converting on third down and just making all the right plays, all the right calls in the first half. Really, you couldn't have drew it up any better. They get to their fourth possession where they were pinned deep next to their own goal line, and they have a fumble there. Alex Witte fumbles, and it looks like Chittard's going to go into the locker room leading 17-14 with an easy touchdown, and then they're going to get the ball back, and if they go down and score, then it might be all that she wrote. But a couple penalties, sack. Nico Ferreira comes up with an interception right before halftime, and the Tigers do have all the momentum in the world. But on their possessions in the second half, interception on their first possession, missed 46-yard field goal, and then their next two possessions ended in turnovers as well. So based on that, Chatard got really good field position pretty much all day. They started five different drives in Lawrenceburg territory and were able to convert on four of those drives with touchdowns. Also had their field goal kicker make a pair of 37-yard field goals, and then they score one late, of course, to kind of put the game on ice. But overall, I thought Lawrenceburg competed well with Chatard, who lived up to being one of the best teams in the state. They play such a hard schedule. Brebeuf, Ron Colley, Elder, really good team out of Missouri, Cathedral. Like, these are some of the teams that they played and lost to, not counting Brebeuf. They did beat them, but again, just shows you the caliber of teams that they play throughout the year, and I think that helps them obviously make these deep state runs each and every year. But Lawrenceburg showed that they could go toe-to-toe with this team and did so very well for two quarters. And had there not been a turnover here, a turnover there, maybe they get the ball to bounce their way here, and this game could have been completely different, as just one of those things where once one wheel fell off, another one came off, and then it was just too deep of a hole to dig out of. But still, at the end of the day, this Tigers team has nothing to hang their heads about. They should be very proud of the way that they played all season long. They won 13 games, obviously are the state runner-up in 3A. There haven't been a whole lot of teams in Lawrenceburg's football history that have gotten to that round. That was the sixth time that they have ever played for a state championship. So again, there were a lot of memories made this season for this team, getting to the state championship level being one of them. And they got to play in an NFL stadium on Saturday. That is something that's not going to be lost on many of those kids for a long, long time. And some great performances too. Tegan Bennett, Alex Woody were both over 100 yards rushing in this game. I thought Logan Ahouse made some good throws. He had a few interceptions, but that was a product of time and situation and maybe just trying to force things a little bit too much, but certainly has a bright future coming back as what will be the senior quarterback for the Tigers next year. The defense, I thought, played lights out for much of the game. Noah Kaniga was awesome. Three sacks. I thought Witte was great. Pierce and Ferreira at linebacker. The defensive line held up pretty well. And then playing against such a good passing attack, Solomon Fisher, Brennan Bushman, Slayback, Combs, all those guys held their own back there in the defensive secondary. So again, everybody had a time to shine on the home field of the Indianapolis Colts and playing in the biggest game that they could play in at the high school level. It was really neat to see, and obviously the result didn't turn out the way that everybody wanted it to, but this Tigers team left it all out there on that field, and they should certainly be proud of what they have had. And just to kind of put a final bow on the 2022 high school football season, if you look at Southeastern Indiana and the teams that we had this season, particularly here in Dearborn County, two of the three teams in the county representing their schools in the state championship, East Central winning, Lawrenceburg coming in as the runner-up in 3A. And then you got South Dearborn, who had a fantastic season, their only losses coming to the two teams that played in the state championship, Lawrenceburg and East Central. So again, football here in Southeastern Indiana was absolutely awesome this year. Some really, really great teams. I think it goes beyond that as well. We had a lot of fun covering some of Milan's games as well. They were much better than their record showed. So again, here at Eagle Country 99.3, we had a great time covering those four teams that we do on a yearly basis, and it was really cool to see two of those teams make it to the state championship. But with that being said, it is now time to turn our focus to the high school hoop season, which is underway for all girls teams in the area, and some boys teams have been able to make it out on the hardwood already. Of course, East Central and Lawrenceburg's teams have not played yet on the boys' side of things due to the success of the football teams. And I think Milan's put in a position where they haven't really got to get started yet either, because they had East Central and Lawrenceburg scheduled as their first two games. More on that in just a moment. Let's dive into our basketball coverage for the evening, as I will start on the boys' side of things. East Central, they are going to get their season started on December 9th at home against Cincinnati LaSalle. They were originally slated to open at Milan on Friday, but that game has been moved to December 16th, so Coach Disbrow will have a little bit more time to integrate football players into basketball. before they get going. Lawrenceburg, however, they're not going to take as much time to integrate their football players that play basketball as they are going to play this week. They will open up Saturday at home against Milan, and the football guys, are not really going to have much time to dwell on the state finals, as they'll have to jump into practice and start getting integrated with the team and getting into basketball shape, because it is far different from football shape. So that will be interesting to see how the Tigers play this Saturday at home against Milan. That will be Milan's opener as well. Of course, a new coach there at Milan as well. So the type of play, the style of play might be a little bit different from what you saw a year ago. And I'm sure we're going to have more on that in the coming weeks once we actually get a chance to see the Indians play in person, which will be coming down the road, not too far off in the distance. Looking at South Dearborn, they've been able to play a couple games so far. They're 1-1 under new head coach Patrick Cosgrove. Did win their opener Turkey Shootout game 55-26 over Rising Sun. Turned around and had to play Franklin County in an EIAC game at the end of last week. 51-39 losses. Franklin County's off to a really nice start this season and picking up an early EIAC win. So South Dearborn will be back at it, looking to bounce back and play a couple non-conference games this week out of Kentucky on Thursday, and then they'll be on the road in Osgood taking on Jackson Dell on Friday. The aforementioned Rising Sun Shiners off to an 0-2 start. Didn't score the basketball well against South Dearborn, only 26 points in that game. They did play better offensively against South Ripley, but the defense just wasn't there. Lost that one 74-52. That was an ORVC game. For Switzerland County, what a win it was for them in their opener, 89-70 on the road at Austin. Cam Craig, sophomore superstar, 46 points in this game on 17-25 shooting, absolutely getting it done. Very efficient from the field and was 3 points shy of the school record. You had Kanan Johnson and Jacob Williams, who played well in that game for the Pacers. So a big win, 89 points on the board in game one. Looking forward to seeing what they're going to do this season, in particular with Cam Craig. He is as advertised as a sophomore. South Ripley 1-1. We mentioned the win over Rising Sun. They also have a 65-60 loss to Jackson Dell, who's off to a 1-1 start. Their lone loss coming to the Batesville Bulldogs. So it's been an interesting start to the boys' basketball season. Everyone, for the most part, has a game or two under their belt. And again, we're going to see Central Lawrenceburg and Milan get their season started very, very soon. And we're going to talk about our broadcast schedule at the end of the show. We want to get to some girls' basketball. And it's a pretty quick rundown this week because we spent most of the time on the state championship games from football this past weekend. So I apologize that we're not going into a deep dive into the basketball season. That will be coming in episodes down the road on Crunch Time. Speaking of which, we're going to be hosting the East Central Lady Trojans next Monday, and they're going through a little rough patch in their season. 4-4, they've lost four in a row. They went 1-2 at the Cordon Central tournament, and then a couple really tough games on the road. Lost 67-54 at Columbus East. That was a sectional championship rematch from a year ago, and these are two teams that might meet in the sectional again this season. And then a 48-25 loss at Mount Vernon and Fortville, who looks like they will be a little bit of a force in the 4A state tournament as well. Road doesn't really get much easier for East Central, as they will host Greensburg on Tuesday. Big EIAC game. It's also going to be Hope Fox night, as they're going to be celebrating Hope for her Indiana All-State selection a year ago. She's going to get a replica jersey and get some claps from the fans and show some appreciation for all that she has done for Lady Trojans basketball. Hope is currently a freshman at Southern Connecticut State University. She's been playing about 10 minutes per game as a freshman, averaging a little over a point and a half per game as she's working her way into the rotation for Southern Connecticut State University. So I'd imagine there'll be a good crowd on hand tomorrow for the Greensburg game, and to welcome Hope Fox home and celebrate her being the first Indiana All-Star in program history a year ago as a senior. Lawrenceburg 3-2. They had a three-game win streak snapped last week at Franklin County, a 50-45 loss in a tough EIAC game. Lady Tigers will be back at it at Richmond on Friday. South Dearborn off to a 1-7 start. A loss at Harrison last week despite 17-point performance from Bernadette Wissman. Lady Knights will look to bounce back against Rising Sun tomorrow. They will host the Lady Shiners, who are coming in 4-1, four-game winning streak. Bailey Morris and Alyssa Simpson have been playing well for this team, both 10-plus point-per-game scores. Alyssa Simpson's actually averaging a double-double. Groover, Peelman, Powell playing well as well. That's going to be the starting five for Rising Sun. We'll see how depth grows for them as the season goes on, but certainly have a really nice starting five that's played a lot of varsity minutes. Milan looking to get off the snide on Tuesday. They're 0-6. They'll host Switzerland County, and it's been a back-and-forth year for the Lady Pacers. 3-3, win-loss, 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 looking to find some consistency. They haven't got some good play out of Macy Collier, Hallie Archer, and Courtney Higgins, however. And then Jacksonville, don't remember the last time they were 2-4. They have certainly played some tough teams to start the season, trying to find their groove. Regan Hughes, Olivia Neal among their top performers throughout the first six games. So that's kind of where we're at in basketball to date. And we are excited to get our high school hoops coverage started next week when the Lawrenceburg Tigers hit the road to Batesville to clash with the Bulldogs in an EIAC matchup on Friday, December 9th. Not quite ready to reveal the rest of our high school basketball broadcast schedule, still working through some games and dates, trying to get the most meaningful matchups on the broadcast schedule as we possibly can, while also trying to cover as many teams in the area as we can. But we want to bring you big games, meaningful games, whether it's a rivalry or a conference game that is going to maybe go a long way to determining a conference champion, things of that nature. Of course, we will certainly be out at the Rivertown Classic to start the year of 2023, covering all eight games from the Rivertown Classic. We would not miss that ever, so you don't have to worry about that. We will be there for sure, but we will be working on getting that broadcast schedule posted for you over at EagleCountryOnline.com, and all the games will be subject to change based on, of course, weather. I'm certain there will be a snow out at some point in the season, and of course, we may flex a game into our broadcast schedule if it is going to be a big conference game that is a big one in terms of the standings, and then, of course, we will have sectional games to bring you as well, so lots to still be determined, so we're going to kind of take it week by week at this point, but we are looking forward to covering all of our area teams during the high school hoops season, and we appreciate you tuning in to Crunch Time each and every Monday, 6 to 6:30, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Next Monday, we will be welcoming in Kevin Moore and his East Central Lady Trojans to talk about their season, so Trojans fans, make sure you're tuned in next week to Crunch Time right here on Eagle Country 99.3 and EagleCountryOnline.com.